Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth. FFT. From the Pac West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with The Bald-Faced Truth.
Well, I got to the bottom of the Damian Martinez drama today. If you want to read it, you can read it at johncanzano.com. We're going to talk about it with our next guest, Kyle Bjornstad, former Oregon State athlete, former Oregon State administrator, now co-founder of the Damnation Collective, will be joining us to talk about the business, I guess, of college athletics. Is that the best way to put it? I think all these schools are trying to do the best that they can do. But what does that mean? And when you get a situation like Damian Martinez had gone public, apparently, messaging a reporter saying, you know, he didn't even get the $100,000 he thought he was going to get. Turns out there was a reasonable explanation for that. He did get the $100,000. Damian Martinez later told me today he not only got the $92,000 quarterly payment, but he got another $8,000 debt that he had at a local car dealership was taken care of by the Damnation Collective. He said, that sounds right. He says, I have no beef with Oregon State, their collective, or our next guest, Kyle Bjornstad, Damnation Collective, joining us. Kyle, thanks for making time for us.
Hey, John. How you doing, man? Thanks for having me.
You bet. You bet. I know it's been a busy week for you guys. I know. I don't know when it, like, if there's a time off for you, but, you know, the portal's open, the portal's closed. There's numerous windows for football and basketball and other things. How does that work in your world when the windows are opening and closing and, you know, you're out trying to make athletes happy and retain athletes on the rosters?
Yeah, there really is no downtime, to be honest. There's different windows for different sports, and when the windows aren't open, that's when you get to work providing these opportunities to kids, you know, in the NIL space. I've been adamant from day one that, you know, I don't do a lot of or any NIL activity during portals because I want to, you know, protect our resources, knowing that kids are making decisions and can come and go. And so, yeah, portal is absolutely a busy time. But as soon as that closes, you get to work and you start working with these kids to get them meaningful opportunities.
Give us an idea, because originally when NIL comes onto the scene, you know, the thing was, you know, it has to be a legitimate endorsement and the schools can't be involved. And that has shifted over time. And how much confusion has that caused in your world as far as, you know, what you can do, can't do, and the rules and all that?
Yeah, you know, I came into this space with a really unique background, one that many don't have, you know, having worked at Oregon State at the executive level with Scott and others. You know, when NIL came around, I was able to kind of, you know, get real deep in it from a compliance perspective. It's something that schools focus on every single day. It evolves rapidly. And so it was something that it was, you know, not necessarily, oh, I love this topic and want to read up on it. It was something that you have to be up to speed on every single day. So it has continued to evolve, obviously, what you can do, more importantly, what you can't do. And one of the reasons I got into this is because, you know, I am an alum. I did play sports there, and I want to make sure that my university that has always gone about doing things the right way, you know, NIL is kind of taken out of the hands of schools. And so you get these folks popping up in collectives and they're not connected to schools and may or may not know the rules. They're jumping on board to try to take care of, you know, take matters into their own hands. And I wanted to make sure at Oregon State, whoever did that had the athlete's best interest in mind, the school's best interest in mind. And you can only truly do that if you understand the do's and the don'ts.
It's really hard, I would think, in this time to deal with all the voices in the room and who's talking to the players and what advice are they giving. And I've had athletic directors across the Pac-12 tell me they don't think athletes are getting good information, or they're worried about the people who are whispering in their ears. How much of a problem is that in your space right now?
It is a huge problem. It continues to be more and more of a problem. You know, some of the my favorite parts of this is getting in a room with 18 to 22-year-olds and talking to them about, you know, NIL. What are your likes? What are your dislikes? How can I help you create your brand, align you with businesses or products? That's the best part of it. You know, the school, the administration, they're behind that philosophy. So that's easy from get-go. You talk about voices in the room, that's the easy part to navigate. These kids, oftentimes they want to bring parents in. I welcome that all day long. The voices that keep you up at night are the ones that you don't even know are there. And those are the voices that are getting to kids or getting to their high school or AAU coaches. You don't even know, you know they're there, but you don't know where they are. You don't know what angles they're coming at these kids from. And, you know, that's the big problem with the system is a lot of people are involved. Some have good intentions, others do not. And that's the toughest part to navigate.
Kyle Bjornstad, Damnation Collective, Oregon State's NIL Collective, is our guest. Damian Martinez, I know you can't talk specifics about specific deals, but another media outlet this week reported that he said he did not receive the full $100,000 he was supposed to get in his quarterly payment in March. I got with him today, ironed that out. He said, I did receive the full $108,000 of it. Apparently went to pay off a debt at a local dealership, a car dealership. He got $92,000. He's good with that. He says he has no ill will with the Damnation Collective or with you personally. But what did that feel like to you to have the ethics of the NIL Collective kind of, at least for a few hours, challenged there?
You know, I'll be honest, that was tough because the thing I pride myself the most on is the credibility, the honesty, and, you know, doing right by these kids. I've been adamant about that for the 18 months since we, you know, started this collective. And, you know, so that was a tough one. But you know what? I love the kid. He's been amazing to work with. He's a great athlete, obviously, but he's been one of the best to work with. So yeah, that did hurt. And while I don't talk specifics, the fact that things got out, and you know, some things were said that were just factually, you know, they weren't facts, that I wanted to make sure that, you know, the air was cleared, and I applaud you. And that was good reporting. You asked the questions. You know me, I'm not one that wants to seek this type of attention at all. I don't like attention in general, but that was very good reporting to get to the bottom of it, because yeah, that's the truth behind it, is every promise made, not just to him, but every promise made to any Oregon State student-athlete from the collective has been delivered.
And I think when that gets questioned, it threatens the whole establishment, right? Because you've got, you know, future athletes that you'll want to do business with that will be going, wait a minute, I heard this story. And so I think it was really important for Damian today, as I kind of asked him about it, and I said, okay, let's be clear. Did you get what was promised to you? And he said, absolutely. I had no problem with this. You know, and he said, you know, he felt good about it. The idea of paying quarterly, can you help our listeners understand why you came up with the idea of not just giving every athlete a lump sum on January 10th or whatever and saying this is good for the year?
Yeah, that model, it's really a byproduct of a broken system. And it really starts with, you know, how NIL was rolled out, and oh, by the way, you're rolling out multiple transfer portals per year. I mean, what did you expect to happen? It's a unintended consequence, but I mean, you could see it coming from a mile away, what was going to, you know, shake out. And so my philosophy around this was, one, you're always going to do right by the student athlete. It's, you know, shoot them straight. You're going to under-promise, over-deliver always, and I know that's not happening most places. But around the payment system, while we owe it to the athletes, I also owe it to the contributors, the donors, the businesses that are using marketing dollars to use these kids to promote businesses, products, what have you. And my thought is, if there's going to be portals and these kids get opportunities to make decisions to come and go And you know what? That's what's in place right now, so that's fair. They have that opportunity. Well, somebody who's running a business and is so thankful for the resources I have from the people that are supporting what we do, I'm going to do everything that I can to protect those resources. And to me, it makes the most sense to spread it out over the year. And while there are portals, we're going to shut off activities to make sure that if someone does leave, they're not taking money with them. And so I always want to be ahead of schedule or on schedule with the payments to athletes. So that's never an issue. But that's why I did the quarterly payment system for instances such as this.
Yeah, it looks smart, and I'm sure others are doing it in other spaces. Contractually, are you allowed to have contracts with the players that require them to make appearances or be in school or, perform certain duties, or if they get in the portal, they have to give the money back? What are you allowed to do in that space?
Yeah, that's an evolving space. There's NCAA legislation around it. I think they're trying to get to a point where contracts can be a one-size-fits-all. Every school, every collective has to use the same contract. Now, obviously, names are going to be different on it. Dollar amounts are going to be different on it. But the contract piece has really been, that's where the wild, wild west kicks in. Some do it, some don't do it. What do those contracts look like? Again, I get back to the third-party involvement. What is really sad about this situation right now is, again, 18 to 22-year-olds. Some may have good folks around them that can give them good consulting advice. Others do not. And when a 4, 6, 8-page document's put in front of them and they don't understand everything that's on there, that's where these kids can get taken advantage of. So the contract piece is a really slippery slope, and that's why I just try to simplify things as much as possible. Here are the opportunities you're going to get over the next 9 to 12 months. Here is the payment schedule. Yes, you do have to do deliverables, social media posts, autograph signings, show up for meet and greets, go to a boys and girls club. All those things you need to do in order to get the payment. And I will document each and every single one of those instances if, compliance ever needs to check on that. But no, that's where this has gone so wild, is they're not policing it, and it doesn't really matter what's out there because nobody's taking a look under the hood.
Kyle Bjornstad, Oregon State's Damn Nation Collective, is our guest, former Oregon State athlete himself and an athletic department administrator. Kyle, how do you set the market for a player, or how do you know what market value is with all of the misinformation that is out there? I have to think that is one of the hardest things to figure out.
It is, John. And it's a good question, and it's actually a hard one to answer. First, you have to understand, again, it all comes back to under-promise, over-deliver. Don't set false expectations, right? And so the only way you can really do that is you have to have a good understanding of the resources that you have. So I'm focused on Oregon State, obviously. There's a lot of numbers that get thrown around nationally, and I'd argue that the majority of them are not accurate. So you need to be aware of them, but you also have to understand where are those numbers coming from. A lot of them are grossly inflated simply because people want to, the higher the number, the higher the bidder, and they're trying to monetize off of that. So for me, it's understanding our resources. I also believe that the greatest asset is the culture and the community, and it's not just taking care of one or a select few athletes. It's spreading it through locker rooms and programs to make sure that as many people are getting a piece as possible. And so understanding those two things and just being fair and reasonable and working within our means, that's what I'm more focused on versus market value, because I don't think there is a true market out there because you can't believe everything. And it's no surprise, everybody knows Oregon State, there's great passionate support, but we don't necessarily have the resources that some of these other schools have. So we can't focus on that part of it.
I keep thinking, if $400,000, that number gets out there, is what an Oregon State running back is getting, that You know, I cannot imagine in the SEC what these figures are looking like. Kyle Bjornstad with us, Damnation Collective. We're watching women's basketball players get in the portal. Martinez gets in the portal. Is money what matters to these athletes right now, or are you up against something else at Oregon State right now with the uncertainty?
I'm really glad you asked that, because I'm actually very happy and proud of what we've been able to do on the NIL side. Now, I want to make it clear, while we've done well, we still have a long way to go. We need to stay competitive in this space. We could need to continue to get more resources in this arena. But you're right. I mean, Oregon State's been kicked around a bit, right, for the last year. And there are other, you know, factors at play. Conference realignment. What conference are we going to be playing in? Can you still get the same exposure? Who are my teammates going to be? You know, all of those things that these kids have to deal with and think through. And it's really unfortunate, because it's not fair. You know, they didn't sign up for that. And so, you know, my focus, John, understanding that all of those things are going on, my focus is on the NIL piece. That's the world I live in. And I at least want to the best of my ability, remove that concern from consideration. We could take good care of these kids with NIL. And people ask, you know, when kids are leaving, you know, are you able to sleep at night? I am, because we are putting our best foot forward and doing all that we can with NIL. And if they're making decisions on other things, you know, that's out of my control. But yes, there's a lot of other factors, and those come up in conversation. And that's just the world, you know, that we're in right now.
Martinez leaves. Seemingly, the money's not going with him, other than the first quarter payment that was made to him. Does that leave, you know, a bigger pool for Trent Bray's program, or how do you allocate the $300,000 that's left in the collective pot, so to speak?
Yeah, yes, it will be, and it has always been earmarked for football. When people contribute to Damnation, they have the ability to earmark it to be either, you know, general fund as needed, any sport, or, you know, most of the time people earmark it for a specific program. So yeah, in a case such as this, the funds are redistributed into the football allotment that I have, and it's my job to watch the ebbs and flows of the roster as another portal is upon us next week, and to the best of my abilities, make sure that we're taking care of these kids.
The story comes out today. I know that you know you guys got beat up yesterday, as people were wondering, did they not deliver or whatnot? And just to hear Damian on the record say, I got what was promised to me. I don't have a problem with Damnation or Kyle. What did that mean to you?
It meant a lot. It meant a lot. As much of a shot to the gut as it was initially, you know, deep down, I know how good of a kid he is. He's a great kid. He's been great to work with. And you got to remember, he's young. And so, you know, these things happen. It's really unfortunate. Again, I'm just proud of the work that we've done. The fact that I hang my hat on delivering on these promises, that's what was most hurtful. But I give him major kudos. And again, for you digging into this and getting to it, you gave him a platform to, you know, ask him questions, and he answered correctly. And to me, that means the world. So to me, it's water under the bridge. You know, we might have to answer more of these questions as we go, and that's fine. And I look at it as an opportunity. Let this be an opportunity for me to, you know, kind of shed light on what are the problems in this space. This is a very dysfunctional space, and they need to put guardrails around it. And but I appreciate the heck out of him stepping forward and talking to you and clearing the air.
I had one longtime Oregon State donor ask a serious question, and I think she's coming from a great place. She says, I still root for, and I will always root for and support Oregon State, but at what point do I continue my loyalty to the teams if the players have no loyalty? What would you say to that donor?
Yeah, it's a very good question. I think that, you know, the one thing about Oregon State is we're Oregon State. We're true to ourselves. We're not going to deviate from who we are. And, you know, everybody's so focused on the here and the now. this is all going to continue to shift, whether it's conference realignment, NIL. I am hopeful that they are going to get their arms around this in some form or fashion and police it. Maybe it's cutting down on the number of portals. Maybe it's going back to the good old days when I was playing, which wasn't that long ago. If you transfer, you need to sit out a year, and maybe if you're sitting out a year, you shouldn't get NIL payments. They have to do something. This isn't sustainable. So I'd say, hey, I'm in this because I love my school and I want to help to the best of my abilities. And if we don't, we're simply waving the white flag. And I am choosing to continue to wave the orange and black flag.
Kyle Bjornstad, Damnation Collective. Hey, I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. I think it helps people out there that were confused or maybe have questions. Love to keep this conversation going, Kyle. Thank you, man.
Happy to talk anytime. Thanks.
There he goes, Kyle Bjornstad. Stephen Vaughn, $400,000 for a running back. And what do you make of what, the collective's position?
Yeah, I like what Kyle had to say, and you know, he seems very confident on what Oregon State has done in the Damn Collective to help out their student athletes. And it sounds like it's not their fault. It's not the money fault. It's all about the conference realignment and those issues going forward. And I hope Oregon State, the presidents and everyone like that can figure out what is exactly going to be the best case for these athletes. Can they get into a bigger conference? Because I think it is hurting the product now for Oregon State. They're losing a lot of players in both, in women's sports and men's sports. It bums me out a little bit that's what it has come down to. But we should have seen this coming, when USC and UCLA left for the Big Ten. Like, this was happening right in front of our eyes. And unfortunately, Oregon State got a chair pulled out from under them. They didn't have a spot to go to. And now it's kind of, coming ahead with all these players leaving Oregon State. And it's not even the money. Oregon State's done a good job of raising money and being competitive in that sense. But now it's not even about the money. It's about just competition. And these kids can get the money somewhere else and they can play against better competition.
Yeah, and I think the competition factor, it would be really hard for me. I don't know that I could do that job because I think I would take it personally. When the athletes got in the portal, I would be mad. And Kyle Bjornstad's going, he's a great kid. It's water under the bridge. They just paid him $100,000 on March 19th. And then Damian Martinez waited like 10, 11 days, and gets in the portal. Like, those would be fighting words. And yet, even today, as I talked with Damian Martinez, he said that he understands why people are frustrated. He gets it. He understands it. That's not what he was upset about. He was upset that people thought he was accusing the collective of not keeping their word. And he said that wasn't the case. He goes that, he got what he was supposed to get for the first quarter. He's being told that he needs to play against better competition to prove that he's the best running back in the draft. I don't think he really needs that, but somebody got in his ear and told him that, and he believes that person. And so he's getting in the portal, and Oregon State will have to figure out what to do without him. And on the bright side, they've got $300,000 that they didn't think they were going to have in the budget. So find somebody in the portal, reallocate the money. Figure it out.
That was a really interesting part as well, saying, you can earmark where you want to put these funds to what sport, but there's also just the general fund. But now that Damian Martinez money is there, that's going straight to football. And so it'll be interesting to see how active Oregon State is in the portal. They've gotten a few guys already, Hankerson from Colorado, the Idaho quarterback McCoy, they've gotten some guys. So we'll see who's out in the portal and if Oregon State makes a little noise now that they have some money coming in, because Martinez had to have been one of the the higher paid guys on the team. So that's a lot of money.
I have to think he was at the top.
Yeah, and so they're gonna have a lot of money to play with, and they maybe can go a little more big fish hunting in this one.
And the question I have, and Anna and I were kicking this around, I'm not sure I want the kids that are only interested in the money. But the problem is at this juncture of the game in the spring, when you have a $300,000 pot to draw upon, and you have, a player or two you want, I kind of think you're going to get players who are only interested in the money. But maybe I'm out of touch with kids today.
Isn't Oregon State kind of a little desperate in this situation, too? They kind of have to go down to that level.
They have to. And they're going to have to take who they think they can get. Now, I am told that they feel good about the backs they have. If the running back room had been depleted and then Martinez left, it might be a different story. But I almost think they're not going to add a running back in the portal unless it just jumps out to them as somebody they have to have. Like, they may go out and try to get a defensive end or an offensive lineman or another player on defense. I don't know. But they've got some money to spend, and spring football game, April 20th, 9 days away. No Damian Martinez. Leave it here. Punch it audio.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.